Stephen McGuenzie. As Steve rightfully put it, I'm the executive pastor of our C3 Fremantle and C3 Wellard campuses. My father had 26 Norwen children. You know, so that's a lot of kids. So 26 Norwen children, which means there may be others who were not Norwen. You know? And so, that's just the way it was. There were many of us, you know, and I went to study in Malaysia in 98. At that time, I was probably 20 years old, and I remember getting a phone call from my father's executive assistant, and she says, "Oh, you're no longer the first," you know, because I thought all that time I was the first born, and she said, "You're no longer the first," and so another girl had magically appeared from somewhere. But of course, she's an older sister. The interesting thing is that, you know, we tend to get along, you know, even though the majority of us have got different mothers, we somehow seem to get along. You know, we send each other text messages, and however, it can be quite dysfunctional, you know, because a lot of jostling happens. You know, now my father's late now, and so the one person that unified us, you know, is no longer there. So then things become hairy, especially when it comes to inheritance. You know, everybody is out there fighting for themselves. The reason I mention, you know, is just to give you an understanding of my background, you know, is that, and for the majority of my life, I was raised by both my maternal grandparents. You know, it was predominantly my mother's mother, my grandmother, that raised me. And you'll hear for a long time, if I give any expressions or if I say anything, it's constantly in reference to the way that my grandmother raised me. And then as well, in my teens, I was raised by my father's mother, you know. So my grandparents predominantly raised me. My parents were divorced, or they never necessarily got married. You know, it was just, in Africa, the tradition is that if you get a girl pregnant, you have to pay something, you know, a price to their family. And so, of course, my father had to do the traditional thing and pay whatever he paid for my mother. Normally, it's in the form of cows, you know, and they had to pay damages because she became pregnant out of wedlock. So they take this stuff quite seriously back in Africa. So anyway, that's how I grew up. That's how I was raised. And of course, my life view comes as well from being in those types of environments. How, you know, we used to stay in my paternal grandmother's house. All the guys, all the sort of like grandsons would sleep on the floor, you know, and so everybody had a spot. You know, normally at 9 o'clock, everybody gets dismissed, and then that becomes our bedroom. So it was quite, I think it was an okay upbringing. And so when my kids complain that life is difficult for them, I get to tell them it's not that difficult because you guys are sleeping on beds. We used to sleep on carpet, you know. And there are times in life, you know, when things seem to be going great, where everything in your life, you know, you pray hard. There were times where praying wasn't difficult. It was quite easy. And I would do it very often. And I would go on and on and on. And I would read the Bible, you know, and I would attend church, both services. And so it was a time where things were going great in life. But then I recall, you know, and then you pray, "Lord, I pray for a wife. You know, thank you, Lord." And then after you pray for the job first. After university, you pray for the job. You're seeking the Lord. You get the job. And after a while, you start complaining about that job that you prayed for. And then you start praying for the wife and say, "Lord, I just pray that I'll be married. And thank you, Lord." And then after a while, after many years of marriage, you're like, "Man, you know, marriage is challenging." I'll put it to you, just marriage is challenging. But sometimes in the course of our lives, we get to a point where things start to become stale, you know? And I think that this is just, this message today is a message about being, bringing some refreshing and some newness into our lives when things just aren't going the way that we would want them to go. When things are just stale in your life, when nothing seems to be going, you have no momentum with your relationship with God, you hardly spend time with the Lord, you know, and so things are just, they're off, you know, as it were, and they're stale. It's like drinking, opening up a bottle of Coke where you're hoping that it's going to quench your thirst, but it's flat, and there is nothing as horrible as drinking something, whether it's a cup of tea that is cold, whether you're drinking a soda like Coke that is flat, because we all like to drink something. When you open the bottle of Coke or whatever your drink is, could be beer, you want to hear that sound. When you twist the top, you want to hear the shh, that effervescency. And we know that after a while in life, it's quite easy for that effervescency to go out, where all of a sudden things start to become stale. You know, now I don't know whether you've experienced that, those times where everything is just there's it's just you're just existing. You're just one step after the other. Things don't seem to have gone in your way, and sometimes you see 2021. We're now, if you can imagine, this is the first week of June, and we're 6 months through 2021. Now, I don't know about you, but sometimes, you see, life will throw many challenges your way. And I don't know what challenges have this year have thrown into your life, you know, where everything seems so difficult, it seems so stale, it's hard to come to church, it's hard to pray, nothing is going. You know, you see, and our lives represent a stagnant pool of water that's lifeless instead of the rivers of living water that Christ said that out of your innermost being shall flow rivers of living water. But we're just like a stagnant pool of water where all of a sudden mosquitoes start to breed, you know, and there's nothing that's happening. And then normally a stench, you know, when there's water that's not flowing, after a while, it starts to have an odor about it. And so how do we move to a life that is vibrant, that is effervescent, and that is a life where our faith is continuously fresh, you know? And I got three keys, I guess, that of how we can walk in the freshness of God. And the first thing is that we need to have fresh praise. Our attitude and our perception toward God shapes the way that we approach Him. Psalm 103, verse 1 to 5 says, "Praise the Lord, O my soul. O my inmost being, praise His holy name. Praise the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all His benefits, who forgives all your sins and heals all your diseases, who redeems your life from the pit and crowns you with love and compassion, who satisfies your desires with good things." So all of a sudden, when we approach God the way suggested by the psalmist, we become energized with life. And I know at times where, you know, you feel that, you know, spiritually you feel dead. You know, you don't feel as alert as you once were. You don't feel like you're hearing the voice of the Lord. And I think one of the best ways to do that is to actually soak in the presence of God and allow the worship to just wash over you. Just this morning, you know, when we're singing, that's a fourth song, "I Surrender." You know, the part that I enjoyed the most was when Dom was harmonizing, you know, because all of a sudden it's like we've caught a second wind where something that is just on the inside of him is beginning to worship the Lord. And that's what happens, you see, when we're feeling a bit stale, is to introduce fresh praise into our life, and that's to allow worship music just to wash over us. You could be in your car going to work, you just, instead of listening to the radio, whatever radio station there is here in Perth, I hardly listen to the radio, you just allow the music to wash over you. When you're in your living room, and sometimes even with your family, You're just saying, guys, today we're going to do things a bit differently. We're going to worship. And I know that there's times where I've said, this year we're going to teach our kids to move in the Spirit. Never happened. You know, life just got busy. But there are moments, you know, like I just think sometimes life is about moments where you can catch that moment where you can say, Lord, I'm just going to spend the next 5 to 10 minutes with you. And I'm just going to allow the worship to just wash over me. And all of a sudden you find that there is a freshness that begins to flow in your life. You know, whether it's praying in the Spirit. Because without that, life can become, you know, can become a bit difficult. But when you introduce fresh praise, your perspective on who God is and the way you approach Him is differently. Because of how difficult life is, the next thing we need to have, the other key, is to have fresh grace. You see, condemnation, when things are not going well spiritually, you haven't, you've got a, who's got the YouVersion Bible app? I used to have it. It's there on my phone, but I don't do any devotionals. Because there'll be days, I mean, the good thing about YouVersion is that they've got that mechanism that says, catch me up. You know, so you'd go for days and you haven't, you've skipped a few days and you think, oh no, you start to feel bad and then I'll just say, catch me up, you know, and then after that I feel like, you know, I'm in sync again. But when we approach our relationship with the Lord in a manner that is very punitive, what happens, you see, is that condemnation begins to flow. You see, because the moment that you miss a day, all of a sudden, you start to feel bad. Oh, I haven't read my Bible today. And you start to feel, it starts to really, you know, just gnaw at you, you see. And so it drives us then to work harder. We try to be better and do more for God. But God has already given us through Jesus. So God has already given us the Lord. So there isn't any trying, any sort of like striving that we can do to make our relationship with the Lord well. So Romans 8, 1 to 2 says, there is therefore now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. For the law of the Spirit of life has set you free in Christ Jesus from the law of sin and death. You see, condemnation will rob you of grace in your life. Because what will happen is that you will fail to see the grace that God has in your life. Now, I used to be one of those who, if I don't read my Bible, if I skip a day or so, I'd be very angry, you know, and I'd start beating myself up because of that. So that's why I stopped watching, using YouVersion, because it was, whilst it's a good thing, don't get me wrong, I use something else that is not, if I miss a day, it doesn't sort of like talk to me. Because YouVersion will remind you that you've missed a day. Now, that wasn't because the YouVersion is bad. That was because of my own approach, my own issues that, you see, everything, if it wasn't done, was so punitive in my life that if I didn't do something, I would punish myself. You know, I would punish myself to the point where, you know, you won't let, you know, where it says that God has forgiven you, I would have to forgive. I would, even though God has forgiven me, I would need, Stephen was even harsher on himself than the Lord was with Stephen, you know? And so I would go for days where I would be angry, you know? And so what happens with condemnation? It just puts you in a hole and you forget to experience the grace of God in your life, you know? But now I've come to learn that I'm in a relationship, you know? And so, yeah, I might not have particularly missed that devotion for that day, but guess what? I am in constant communication with the Lord. I am in constant harmony with God. And so, not suggesting that we don't do all those things because they are good, but condemnation has got this thing where it drives us to become performance-oriented. And that what God has done for us is never good enough. And so we always want more. And I recall I struggled when I was at high school. When I was in school, I failed twice when it got to the exams. And so I failed and I had to repeat and I failed again and I had to repeat. But when I got to university, I remember calling my father and said, look, I got a high distinction, and a credit. And he says, and so he's, instead of saying, well done for the distinctions, why did you get the credit? You know? So the focus was on why did you get the credit? And so I no longer viewed, so for me, I took that personally, that there must be something wrong with me rather than it's just the grade. So I internalized the grade and made that there's something wrong with me. And that's what happens when there's condemnation in our lives, is that we internalize those things and we begin to view ourselves through our failures. And what that does is that it takes us away from what God has said about our lives and where God wants our lives to go. And so we need fresh grace over us, where if we miss a day, big deal, you know, try again tomorrow. Because we have to be like that. Because you can recall, you know, I remember listening to a group of friends, and there was an article that was going around where his football team lost. He used to be an Arsenal supporter. And so his football team lost. And he says this, he says, afterwards we went for drinks, and he says, what really ticked me off was that the players had also come to the same bar and were having fun. You know, and he was like, whoa, hold on, you've just lost the match, so why are you guys, you know, so happy? But we have to have the mind of an athlete. And the mind of an athlete is to say, they're not going to dwell very long on the days of defeat. You know, they're not going to dwell very long because they've been defeated. Yeah, we don't like it, but guess what? Move on. Because what happens if you don't do that? It's going to affect your performance for the next week. So you learn what you can. Oh, why did I, why did we lose? Well, we lost because maybe we didn't train hard enough, or I didn't read, or didn't have my devotional time with the Lord because I slept at 2 o'clock in the morning and my devotion is normally at 6. Now, the biology would tell you that no matter how desirous and how much I love the Lord, if your body is tired, you're not going to do that, you know. So condemnation is such a bad thing. And so we need to have grace over ourselves. We need to forgive ourselves and say, you know what, big deal, and move on, you know. Because when we capture the grace of God in our lives, we feel the baggage of failure, disappointment, and lack of ability lift from our shoulders. And that's what we want in our lives. We don't want to be held down by all this failure, all this disappointment. We want to let go of that. And by embracing the grace of God, it'll bring a freshness in our life. And as we finish, I'm just going to invite our worship team. We need fresh faith. Key number 3 for today is we need a fresh faith. You see, God wants to energize our faith. And the question is, are we praying in faith or are we filled with worry? Because doubt will detour us from the fresh faith God wants to give us as we walk with Him. You know, in the book of Matthew, there are 3 stories spoken of individuals that all approached Jesus in a unique way. In Matthew 8, verse 2, it says, Lord, the man said, if you are willing, you can heal me and make me clean. In Matthew 8, verse 6, but the officer said, Lord, I am not worthy to have you come into my home. Just say the word from where you are, and my servant will be healed. And in Matthew 9, verse 19, the woman with the issue of blood, she touched the fringe of his robe, because she thought to herself, if I can touch his robe, I will be healed. You see, the one thing that was different about them is that they approached him in faith. You see, they had a faith statement when they approached Jesus. That lady with the issue said, if only I would touch the hem of his garment, then I would be made well. And so how much faith do you need? And where do you get it from? You don't need much faith. Faith as small as a mustard seed. And where does this faith come from? It comes by hearing and hearing from the Word of God. There are many instruments that we can use, whether you hear a sermon, whether you listen to your Bible via audio, whether you read it. Let the words of God begin to wash over you. And all of a sudden, as you begin to let it wash over you, you will get the faith that you need to begin to believe God for something. You know, I've always, over the past 5 years, every year I've had a faith statement where I say, this year, this is what my faith statement is. You know? And one of the years, previous years, probably 2017, my faith statements was Psalm 124. And so it didn't matter what we were facing as a family, this is what I would always pray. What if the Lord had not been our side? Let Israel repeat. What if the Lord had not been our side when people attacked us? They would have swallowed us alive in their burning anger. The waters would have engulfed us. A torrent would have overwhelmed us. Yes, the raging waters of their fury would have overwhelmed our very lives. Praise the Lord who did not let their teeth tear us apart. We escaped like a bird from a hunter's trap. The trap is broken and we are free. Our help is from the Lord who made heaven and earth. And so during that year, no matter what was happening, that's the one thing that was consistently on my mouth. What's your faith statement going to be for the rest of the year? You know, last year, I normally take some time aside before the year ends and say, okay, Lord, what are you saying to us for, as a family, you know, for 2021, for the next year, whatever the year is. And I felt that this year, of course, just for my family, you know, myself, and invariably I'm, you know, the head of our family with my wife, I just felt this scripture in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 7. And it says, in the life of the righteous, faith is the controlling factor that motivates his conduct. You know? And that was it for us, you know, that faith is the one thing, whatever we do, whatever we approach, we are going to approach it from a position of faith. So whether it's in my personal life, whether it's in my professional career, whatever sphere of life that I'm in, I will approach my life understanding that faith statement. And even for us as a church this year, we said it's the power of relationships, you know. And the power of relationships is about you embracing that. You see, God is going to use other people, and you're going to experience the power of relationship is that when we do things together, or in partnership with other people, you will go further than when you do things by yourself. And I believe that God has amazing plans and a destiny for us as individuals, but collectively as His church. And so we have to be optimistic that this about the future, because Jesus is with us and God wants to work in us and through us. And so I would ask this year, you know, as we stand, as we're about to worship, as we finish, we need to make a commitment that with the days that are remaining in 2021, we're going to make a commitment this year to finish this year with a fresh praise on our lips, you know, with a fresh grace over our own lives, where there is no condemnation, where we will not allow condemnation to reign in our lives. And also with a fresh faith statement that, Lord, your word, and we take the word of God and we begin to pray that over our lives, over our family's life, you know, that if you're facing obstacles, if you've got things that are coming up against you, you begin to get the word of God that says that, you know, no weapon formed against you shall prosper, and every tongue that rises up against you, you condemn. And what it's basically saying is that the weapons may be formed. And so that's not a problem. You shouldn't be scared about weapons being formed. But just understand that in faith, they will not prosper. And so that becomes the declaration of your mouth for yourself and over your family. And so let's sing this morning as we finish. that there would be a freshness that comes into our lives. Just like, you know, if we all go outside without wearing our jackets, we can feel the chill of the cold. That's the same thing when we are, there's a freshness of faith, a freshness of praise, and a freshness of grace that comes over our life. Amen? Amen. We'll sing, and then we'll... thank you, Steve. And if you need prayer for anything, you know, we'll be here at the front to pray for you. But let's sing through the chorus together. And then if you need prayer, if not, we'll meet you at the foyer at the back. Have a wonderful week.